we don't want to have to fear that, you know, jaywalking across the street is going to end with being dead. So 151 years ago, Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon of light of hope for millions of black slaves who had been seared in flames of injustice. It came as joyous ended their lives in captivity. It was meant to mean that all men were created equal and to be treated as such. But 100 years later, the black man was still not free. 100 years later, the life of the black man was still sadly dictated by segregation and discrimination. And even today, 151 years later, we have to come together still because we are not free. What the police are telling us through their actions is that we have those rights still. However, they have their guns and their reign to do as they please. They, with their guns, they have our fear. I'm afraid to walk down the street as the person I want to be. I'm afraid that they will put me in chains unless I do as they want. I'm afraid to speak my mind or to raise my child in this world where fear for their safety will consume my thoughts day and night. But today, I don't have any fear because I stand with my brothers and sisters. Yeah. And I know that they are here for me as I am for them. No amount of fear can drive away the confidence that I feel when I'm surrounded by you.
And the fact that jury said that the policeman was justified in killing Michael Brown. According to the autopsy report, there were no stains, but he was at a significant distance, 100 feet or more. He shot 12 times, hit him 8 times. He did not deserve to die that way. And yet, in the real spiritual sense, tonight, Michael Brown is more alive than his killer, because we feel his spirit for justice and decency around the world. People marching in Portland and Seattle and Mississippi and Maine, people marching in Hong Kong and London. But people are marching all around the world saying, forward by hope, not backwards by fear. We are not going back. We are not going back. We are not going back. The painful fact is this is a pattern that we must not adjust to this pattern. The jury, I heard the president say, well, we should follow the law, but sometimes you must destroy bad law, not follow bad law. The jury set the killers of Emmett Till free.
Yep. All right.
The jury set the killers of Med Gavis free.
All right.
The jury set the killers of Trayvon Martin free.
All right.
The jury set the killers of Diallo free. We do not want bad jurors. We will fight, but we need a federal intervention, a federal judge, a federal jury now. We need
a federal
grand jury.
Federal
grand jury.
Now.
We would urge Attorney General Holder to not wait another moment to in fact intervene with a federal grand jury. We cannot depend upon the stacked cards of that jury. Because they did not have, I looked at the interview with Mr. Miller. He showed no remorse.
That's right.
No sense of caring.
None.
No sense of humanity.
Right.
We deserve better than that.
Yeah.
But let's go a step further. We want the president to act as well.
Yeah.
It's now time to clean off the Crony Commission report. We've been here before.
Yeah.
We must not accept the idea of two societies, black and white. Rich and poor, we live under one nation, one flag. We must fight back together.
Yeah.
We have lived, we've survived apart for too long. We must now learn to live. So
we've survived
apart too long. Now we must learn to live together.
Not merely
survive apart, but live together.
We
all matter.
Our
humanity
is one.
We must protest
in Oregon
and all around the world
and
see the power of nonviolent discipline. There's power
in
our marching feet.
The power
of nonviolent discipline.
Violence
destroys.
We want healing.
Violence
blinds us.
We need to see.
Violence
hurts us.
We need help.
We need love.
Violence
takes our Asia off the agenda. We need jobs and justice.
Those were sounds from Saturday's rally at the Justice Center with local organizers and the Reverend Jesse Jackson. Now we'll hear from today's protest at City Hall, where around 20 people filed complaints of police misconduct with the city auditor. First is Hands Up Portland organizer Teresa Rayford, followed by several people who filed complaints.
Do you believe in your civil liberties as Americans?
Yes!
Do you feel like they were violated this past weekend?
Yes!
Right. Do you think that they've been violated before the actions that took place this past weekend?
Yes! Right.
Who do you think is responsible for that? The Portland Police Department?
The state!
We're filing complaints today against the Portland Commissioner, Charlie Hills. We're filing your complaints for misconduct shown to our citizens by the Portland Police Department. I'm holding in my hand the report to the City of Portland, their police bureau, officer-involved shootings, and in-custody deaths. Lots of us believe that their process does not work, but we would not be showing accountability if we did not use their process. If we want to change something or if we want to create something, we have to be knowledgeable about the processes that already exist, and we need to make sure that we use those processes. So we're here today. We're going to have several members from the National Lawyers Guild. We're going to follow up with the ACLU, and we will have a representative here from the NAACP. If you know of any organizations or legal entities or attorneys that would help process filing complaints, several complaints, and I don't care how far back they go, you need to start filing complaints against this bureau independently and with respect to the process that is in place. Let's get it done.
Yeah!
Their process here at City Hall is run through the Auditor's Department. It's called the Independent Police Review. We're going to use that process. I told Irene already that we will be in there, and we'll be in there in large numbers. So they are prepared for us. You will not be stopped. You guys are citizens. You pay these bills here. You elect these officials that work in this building. This auditor has been elected and paid by you to provide this service. You are not doing anything against your constitutional rights. You are basically creating civil action. We've done a lot of legal civil disobedience, and now we are using that same civic system to process these complaints. So please, do it, and let's get it done.
Tell me why you're out here today.
Because several civil liberties were violated over the last couple of months as far as our protesting and our freedom to assemble, and we want to file complaints on regards to that activity by the Portland police against our people. Protesting in America is legal. You shouldn't be, they shouldn't subject you to arrest because you're peacefully assembling. And so rights that have been violated, complaints will be filed today using the process.
Can you give some examples? What were some of the things that you feel like were...
Horses trampling, protesters, people being told they're going to be arrested if they don't get off of the sidewalk into the street, and then being pushed and shoved into a situation where we felt like we were being kidnapped or we were in fear of all being arrested for peacefully assembling. That's counterproductive to what our Constitution allows for us, you know? So we need to file those complaints so that we can be understood that we do follow process. We are going to hold ourselves accountable to using the system that's in place.
You're talking about events of the past few months. You said the past few months?
Well, we've been assembling since August. And there's been several attacks on our protesters by the Portland police. And people haven't followed the rules of engagement to process those complaints. So that's what we're here to do today.
How are you guys organized? Do you meet through social media?
We meet through social media. We have an event page up on Facebook. We organize events. We talk to people that come to those events, whether it's 3 people or 100 people. We take their opinions, their advice, their dialogue. We construct it, and we delegate, and we move to action. It's community action planning.
How many complaints are being filed today?
I have no idea. Let's see how many people come down. We're streaming so that people know what we're doing down here. So if they're not able to make it down today, they can start filing those complaints on their own time. But we're making an effort today to make sure that everybody knows what's happening. We're happy you're here.
Have you filed any complaints yet?
I've filed complaints with IFER tons of times, and they're always saying that there's no problem. So let's give them a couple of hundred and see if all of those have no problem attached to them.
So you're encouraging just individually for people
I'm encouraging
to go.
Everybody that has an issue that feels like their civil liberties have been violated by the Portland police to file a complaint.
Why is this important to you?
I filed a complaint against the Portland Police Bureau for the kettling that we experienced on 11/29. There was a group of maybe 200 of us that were peacefully protesting, some of us taking part in a die-in where we had blocked an intersection where there was no traffic at that time of the night. And we were surrounded by riot police, pushed onto the sidewalk up against the buildings, and were told that we were all under arrest. I had been standing on the sidewalk. It just feels like they've violated my constitutional right to be able to protest. And I think it's especially ironic to look at the behavior that night by the Portland Police Bureau, since we are there talking about police brutality.
They actually made people get off the sidewalk and onto the street, right?
They were telling us at one point that yes, and it was very strange because yes, we were on the sidewalk and told by the Portland police we were to get into the street as a group. It did not take place. But yeah, there was a lot of contradictory guidance that we were getting, and you know, it was pretty scary. At one point, we were being pushed from the riot cops on both sides, and I wasn't sure what was about to happen. So after a while, they did let most of us go and arrested 10 people out of our group of about 200.
Did it seem arbitrary that they just arrested those 10 people? Was there any particular reason why they picked those 10
people? It's very interesting. I thought one of the faces of the people that I saw, I do not know her by name, I thought was the legal observer from that night. I felt like they definitely were looking for certain people. It seemed like there was some retribution going on by the Portland Police Bureau. It also felt like that they were using this mass arrest situation to try to break people's spirits and to break a movement.
Well, you're going to keep coming out, I take it.
I am. You bet.
What's your name?
Judith.
Thank you, Judith.
Thank you.
During the night of protesting last Tuesday, I was on my bike, traveling by bike, and I'm also an amputee. I had my crutches attached to the back of the bike, and a cop came up to me, took my bike, and which had my crutches, and was like, get out of the road. To that I said, I can't get out of the road. I can't walk without my crutches or the aid of a bike. So then he took the crutches off the bike and threw them at me. And, you know, at this point I was gathering my things, and he was like pushing me out. And I said, I can't put my arms through the crutches yet. You know, I'm like getting my stuff. He was just very aggressive, and then the police cars were just moving right towards me as I was standing there and not, you know, waiting at all. It was an empty street. No one's around. There was really no reason for them to be this aggressive, and it was really an intimidation factor. And, you know, meanwhile, the police are just plowing down bikers and just going, you know, in full military operation at anyone in their path.
What's your name?
Sarah Phillips.
Yep. Yeah.
Hi. And so you were there Saturday night?
I was there on Tuesday.
On Tuesday.
And I was there after the first march, and I was there just to document what was happening. And at one point, I saw people getting pepper sprayed. I saw people getting hit with batons by the police, the riot police. and then at the end, we were at PGE Park, and I was standing on the sidewalk, and because they had asked us to get on the sidewalk, and I was standing on the sidewalk just like this. And a riot police was right in front of me, and there was an incident next to me, and he shoved me and the girl next to me and, like, hit us with his baton. And so I'm here to make a complaint. I have bruises on my arms from it, and I've just never been treated like that in my life. And I've been in lots of protests, and this was just the craziest thing I've ever seen. So I just came here to make a complaint and just show solidarity. So.
And what's your name?
It's Renee.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
So are you making a complaint?
Yes.
What's your complaint?
My complaint is that the police fired flash grenades at us when we didn't provoke them at all, and we weren't attacking the police. They fired flashbangs at us from point blank range, and there's absolutely no reason to do something like that.
What was the exact situation at the time?
Well, I mean, we were marching, and and we were marching in the streets, and they had been following us for some distance, and you know, sort of repeatedly telling us that we're not allowed to be in the streets, and it's, you know, it's time to disperse. You know, the streets are closed to pedestrian traffic and that kind of a thing. And then, you know, people refused to disperse and kept marching, and at one point they formed a a line of riot cops across the street, and we didn't disperse, and they decided that that was a good enough reason to fire at us from what was essentially point blank range.
If you refuse to disperse, it seems like they might have some sort of rationale.
I don't see why refusing to follow orders is rationale to violently attack people. I mean, certainly if you want to try and cite someone or arrest them for breaking some kind of city ordinance, then sure. But attacking us with weapons, certainly, you know, less than lethal weapons, but weapons nonetheless, I think is something that police really shouldn't be doing unless they really are in danger. And people marching and demanding justice does not put police in danger.
And what's your name?
My name's Justin Kurtzen.
Hi, I'm with KBOO Radio.
Yes.
Do you care to say what your complaint is?
Yes, I would. My complaint is that the police killing of an unarmed citizen is completely unacceptable, whether it's in Ferguson or Portland or anywhere in this country, and yet this has been happening in my own community. Over the years I've lived here, I can recall 5 such incidents. I live in North Portland, and the trouble with these type of incidents is they cause a ripple effect such that any progress that we've made in people getting along and easing racial tensions is completely erased by these acts of violence of the police against unarmed, often people of color. And what I mean by ripple effect is it poisons the community. I personally took care of Kendra James's grandmother when she had a heart attack after her granddaughter was killed by the police.